fighting for America.
No citizen should ever be afraid to criticize their public official. No citizen should ever be cowed into silence.
Fighting for Idaho.
It's just a prejudiced situation where kids have to be forced to choose to either not say the pledge and be potentially ostracized, or say the pledge and reaffirm a prejudice against themselves and their family.
Fighting for you.
When you have our federal governing partner from the state level acting in such an absolutely uncivil manner, it really defies the very notion of what the foundations of our government are.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Everybody has a plan until they're punched in the face.
On 580 KIDL, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us as we continue on talking about lands not only in Idaho, but in Nevada and Utah, across the country. We're joined by a gentleman that we've heard a lot about, read a lot about. His name is Ken Ivory. He's a state representative in Utah. He's with the American Lands Council. Mr. Ivory, your reputation precedes you.
Well, thank you. That can be good and bad. I guess it can cut both ways.
If you're the BLM, probably not so well. If you're great Western Americans, pretty good. You know, this is fascinating what's going on with the Bundy Ranch, but this isn't the only situation that you have the feds trying to take private folks' land, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's happening all over the West. The frustration, I think Mr. Bundy is personifying the frustration that people are feeling all over the West, and in fact all over the nation. When you have a government, our federal governing partner from the state level, acting in a purely civil manner in such an absolutely uncivil manner, it really defies the very notion of what the foundations of our government are: protect life, protect liberty, protect property. That's why we formed an organized government. So, yeah, we kind of use the phrase, and in fact we'd encourage people to use the hashtag if they're on Twitter, bigger than Bundy. This is so much bigger. This is the towns throughout Idaho and Montana and Washington and Oregon that are now boarded up, that used to be some of the best funded school districts in the nation because they had the access to their renewable timber resource, and now they've been turned into fire hazards all around them. You know, this is about areas where the BLM's own resource management plans say there'll only be 300 wild horses, and yet there are thousands that are multiplying every 4 or 5 years, destroying the ecosystem watersheds, the fire risk off the charts, where we've been prevented from harvesting renewable resource, from tending the garden, as you've seen in Idaho, the sheep fire and so many others, burning up millions of animals, destroying the habitat, the watershed, for decades, and there are those that call that environmentalism. So it's time. There are solutions big enough. Kevin, there are the Institute for Energy Research tells us there's more than $150 trillion, with a T, trillion dollars in minerals locked up in the federally controlled lands, more recoverable oil than the rest of the world combined, the Government Accountability Office tells us. And yet failed federal policies have put us in an intense situation of urgency, both economically as well as environmentally.
Ken Ivory joining us here. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's talk a little bit about the story coming out of Salt Lake City over the weekend that we've covered here, and you're a big part of it, where you have over 50 elected folks from the 9 Mountain West states taking a look at getting their lands back. What was discussed, and if you could, give us the beginnings of this.
Well, let me thank your Speaker of the House, Scott Bedke. He really was the instigator. You know, we've been working on a number of things and legislation, and Speaker Bedke called, I think it was about January. I mean, this was way before any of the Bundy thing bubbled up. He called and said, we really have to get leaders together to start coordinating, collaborating meaningfully on this. And so American Lands Council, we've been kind of the tip of the spear on all of this, and started pulling that together. It was really gratifying, Kevin. We had speakers of the House from a number of the Western states, Senate leadership from a number of the western states. Idaho was very well, very effectively represented. Speaker Bedke and others, Terry Gestern, Bill Myers, Winder, Bart Davis, I'm going to forget someone there, or there were a number of people from Idaho, and then throughout the West. So the idea is, at this point, the frustration is so apparent that it becomes incumbent upon the representatives of the people to step up and take the constitutional rule of law action that we swore an oath to do under the Constitution of the United States. We, in the states and the counties as subdivisions of the state, we swear an oath to uphold the United States Constitution, and we're woefully out of balance. And so it's a matter of these constitutional officers getting together, uniting our power and our energy and our efforts to restore balance to our system in how we protect life and liberty and property so that, Kevin, it's very simple. I mean, we have the power in our communities and in our lands to better protect the land, to provide for our children's education and our sick and poor and roads and public safety from right within our own communities, and to prosper. That was the equation of our Constitution.
Well, one thing that, Mr. Ivory, that I don't understand, where are the governors in all this?
Well, that's a good question for each governor. Now, our governor in Utah has signed my original bill, House Bill 148, the Transfer of Public Lands Act, and then we just passed this year another series of bills. We formed a Transfer of Public Lands Caucus in the House and Senate and passed a package of bills that implement and appropriate money to begin preparing legal battles if necessary. I mean, the foundation of this is number one, education. Number two, negotiation. Number three, legislation at the local, state, and national level. And number four, litigation if necessary. And so, you know, you kind of go by their fruits, you shall know them. And so this, Kevin, is, I believe, the issue of this campaign. And so as the sovereign power, the people hold the sovereign governing power, and we delegate that to people that we hire to represent us so that we can go about our business. But we hire these people to represent us. And on something like this, where it is the only solution big enough to fund education, better care for the environment, grow the economy locally and nationally, I would submit that in all these races, this really is and should be a litmus test where resources are locked up and the environment is being destroyed, and the promises at statehood are the same. The promises to extinguish title to these lands, they're the same east of Colorado as they are with Idaho and Utah and all throughout the West. So, yeah, I mean, where we elect people to protect life, liberty, and property and to secure the ability for us to prosper, this is a very critical issue.
Ken Ivory with us from the Americans Lands Council, a state representative in Utah here at 580KIDO with Kevin Miller in the morning. It's funny because I was talking to Tea Party Bob and Steve Ackerman, who've done a lot of work here in the state, and they always talk about the lands, and I'm going, there's no way that the feds are ever going to give up the lands that they've seized. And yet, Mr. Ivory, does the Bundy Ranch situation spell a tipping point where people have said enough is enough, and you could awaken the Western public to get the lands back?
Well, I think that's the important part of the Bundy situation. It has awakened the nation to the untenable situations on public land. You've got a federal government that, again, in a very purely civil matter, comes out in such an abusive, uncivil manner to collect fines. I mean, it's just unheard of, and that flies in the face of all the notions that we hold dear as to what is the governing power that we've delegated. And so, but kind of back to your original point on that, Kevin, this has already been done before. You know, when you look back in your history, the public lands history, you find that Illinois and Indiana and Missouri and Arkansas and Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, and of course, Kevin, you know that great western state of Florida? They were as much as 90% federally controlled for decades. And they would send resolutions and delegations to Washington, and in their documents, and we have them on the website, they're available, in their documents they would say, we can't educate our kids. You're not disposing of our land like you promised. We can't grow our economy. You're not keeping your statehood promise. You're hoarding all of our resources. You're not keeping your promise. We never bargained for this. And, Kevin, they banded together. It was one guy. It was one Democratic senator from Missouri. His name is Thomas Hart Benton. And he got elected to the Senate, and he said, my election found me doing battle for changing this system of disposing of the public lands. And he ran a bill every year in Congress, but he said it was more so the speeches that he gave. He was educating his colleagues in Congress, and then he went out to educate the public throughout the districts of his colleagues. And that's what gave people the knowledge and the courage to band together. And, you know, Illinois is not 90% federally controlled today, nor Missouri, nor Louisiana, nor Alabama. They succeeded because they mobilized their political power, and they went out and hired representatives with the knowledge and courage demanding that they take this action to secure property and liberty and prosperity. And that's the foundation of our system.
Ken Ivory with us from the American Lands Council. Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580 KIDO. How unique or perhaps in line is Idaho when it comes to the lack of control of the lands?
Well, I think you fall number three in line. Nevada is 81% federally controlled. Utah is 67%. And I think Idaho, you're right up there at about 63% federally controlled. So you think about that. The states in the West have the hardest time funding education because we simply don't have the property tax. We don't get the income tax from the productivity of the land. We don't have the royalties and all the rest. And so we have the hardest time funding education. But also, Kevin, Idaho gets something on close to 40% of your state revenue. Single largest line item source of revenue to the state of Idaho is federally sourced funds that are already going away. And there's no backup plan. So when you think about that, in Idaho and in Utah and throughout the West, we're going to have the responsibility and the opportunity to educate our children no matter what continues to happen in Washington. We have the responsibility to take care of our sick people and poor people and roads and public safety and care for the lands no matter how much more indebted and immobilized Washington becomes. That responsibility still lies to those whose lives and livelihoods depend upon those lands.
We go to the phones. We go to Randy in Nampa for Ken Ivory at 580 KIDO. Hello, Randy.
Hey, Kevin. How are you doing?
Great.
Hey, I just had a question for Mr. Ivory. I believe that we should try and take our lands back. Matter of fact, my wife is helping run Chris Troupas' campaign, who's running for attorney general, who thinks that too. But my question is, our current attorney general, Lawrence Wasdin, has said, I heard him last week at a forum. He said that we can't take our lands back here in Idaho from the federal government because, like in the 40s or something, our legislators said we don't want the land back.
Yeah.
So what is your take on that?
Yeah, that's a half of a half truth. In it was 1932, actually. So in the 1920s, you had Arizona and New Mexico that were made states, and so you had the lower 48 in, and they started to then plead to Congress, you've got to keep your promise and dispose of these lands now, just like you did with all the others. And they said, well, your land is arid. It's going to take a little longer. We know we have to dispose. It's going to take longer. And finally, into the mid-1920s, they became so insistent that President Hoover convened a commission, and by 1932, they had congressional hearings. Now, pay attention to this. The title of the congressional hearings was Granting Remaining Unreserved Public Lands to the States. Not if, only how. Now, as the hearings went forward, the agencies came forward and said they kind of substituted the bill, and their bill was, we're going to grant you all the land. We know that's a solemn promise. We have to do that. We're going to grant you the land, the surface land. We're just going to keep all the minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's where all the wealth is. And so the states, in the middle of the Depression, they did descend on Washington, and they killed that bill. And they said, no, you've got to keep the whole promise with us. You can't give us half a promise. And then a year and a half later, they passed the Taylor Grazing Act, which is the precursor to the BLM. In the very first line of the Taylor Grazing Act, it says this, that it's established in order to promote the highest use of the public lands pending its final disposal. Now, let me direct you to the website, AmericanLandsCouncil.org, AmericanLands with an S, Council.org. And under the Resources tab, you'll see a tab called White Papers. And in that tab, you'll see a very recent law review article, the BYU Law Review article, done by Professor Donald Cochin. And he lays out in detail the legal, the historical, the constitutional basis behind the promises are the same. They've got to honor, the federal government has to honor the same compact duty to dispose that it kept with all states east of Colorado.
Randy, thank you for the call. Mr. Ivory, please stand by. More coming up with our friend Ken Ivory. Your calls concerning who has the land, who owns the land, and who should get the land at 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580 KIDO. Ken Ivory joining us from the American Lands Council. Mr. Ivory, let's get back to a few things. What was the result of this big meeting in Salt Lake? Any clarification, any ending to this, or is this just the beginning?
Well, of course it's just the beginning. This is a big process. We're more than 100 years into this. It's going to take time to sort out and sort through and work through this. States are standing up, though, and you know, the good thing, your Speaker Bedke was wonderful in gearing and guiding the discussion as we went forward. He and our Speaker Becky Lockhart were the co-hosts of the event, and they were able to steer things at the end to forming an executive committee, an executive council, if you will, of a House and a Senate and a local government member from each of the states to begin coordinating meaningfully on the strategy going forward. And we know that the strategy going forward is going to center around four basic points. The first is education. And we can all do this, Kevin. All of us. You can get on the American Lands Council. There's quick facts and key points and videos and all sorts of things. And on Facebook, you share and tweet. And I mean, can you imagine Thomas Jefferson with a YouTube channel? You know, Thomas Paine with a Facebook and Benjamin Franklin with a Twitter account. Can you imagine Benjamin Franklin with a Twitter account? Would that be just incredible? We have opportunities to educate that leave us no excuse in terms of can we move this forward. So education is number one. We can all do that. Number two is negotiation, and that's where your counties and your states and your congressional delegations, we begin to pull these BLM and Forest Service people in and start confronting them with this issue of our statehood promises. Our statehood terms are the same as all states east of Colorado. We need to deal with this issue, and we need to sort through this, and the promises are the same, and we need you to honor the same promise. And you start working through that on a negotiation standpoint. And then legislation. Now, Idaho's already started off with forming a task force, and they passed a resolution laying out some of the history and background. There's more action to be done at the state level. Kevin, you've got counties and cities and school districts all around the nation doing resolutions supporting the transfer of public lands. In fact, the Republican National Committee did a resolution supporting the transfer of public lands. National Association of Counties, South Carolina did a resolution supporting the transfer of public lands. So education, negotiation, legislation, and then if necessary, litigation. In the state of Utah, we appropriated $2 million to begin building the case. Now, this is something you don't do lightly. And building a case of this magnitude, this is a case of the century. We're going to be very detailed in the transition, the remedy. How do we transfer from fed to state? And so that's a process we're working on now. Now, the three things that people can do with that, again, educate. We can all educate. We can all get on the website and share and tweet and Facebook and email and carrier pigeon. Delegate. You know, delegate. We hire these representatives. And if we're not hiring the right people and instead defaulting to somebody with a nice voice and nice hair, well, shame on us. We get what we deserve. And so delegating, getting to these people, and do they have the knowledge and the courage to secure life, liberty, and property, which is the very foundation of our basis of our system. The final thing is donate. This group that we had, this summit, this wasn't done at state expense. This is something that the American Lands Council is kind of helping to facilitate. And so if people can get on, there's a donate tab. If they're able to do that, a dollar a month, a dollar, $5, $10, whatever they can do, that helps us continue to educate and get more tools and materials out.
Finally, here at 580 KIDO, how do you see the Bundy situation playing out?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I don't think that the federal government is just going away and they're going to go away just easily or lightly. My guess is they're regrouping and figuring out what their next move is. So that's going to continue to fester. And until, Kevin, until it's dealt with, that problem's dealt with at a jurisdictional level, at a state level, where you start to restore the jurisdiction and the balance between the state and the federal government, whether it's Clive and Bundy's situation continuing to fester, or it's someone in Idaho County, or someone in Benoit County, or someone in Montana, those issues are continuing to percolate all throughout the West. And so this really cries out for the solution of jurisdictional actors, states acting under the Constitution to restore that balance. And, where the Supreme Court, 2 years ago, the Supreme Court said the independent power of the states serves as a check on the arbitrary power of the federal government, and states are separate and independent sovereigns. Sometimes they have to act like it.
You think in the next coming weeks it'll escalate there, or do you think it'll de-escalate?
Hard to say. I think from a PR standpoint, which is really what politics in Washington seems to be about anymore, I think they really kind of got their hat handed to them from a PR standpoint. But you know, where you've got Harry Reid out calling people on the ground domestic terrorists, I mean, that's just ridiculous. It's just absolutely ridiculous. This is an untenable situation built on a very tenuous foundation. And whatever you build on a bad foundation, Kevin, you know, if you're building a house and you lay a bad foundation, you're going to have a bad house. Well, the bad foundation is the federal government didn't honor to Nevada and Idaho and Utah the very same statehood promises they kept with All States East. And on that bad foundation, whatever you build is going to be bad. And that's where we're at. And so we've got to go back as state jurisdictional actors and address that foundation and simply compel the federal government to honor the same promise at statehood to transfer title to the public lands.
Well, Mr. Ivey, you're right. It just scares me when, you know, the BLM backs off and you don't know if they're going to come back. And then all of a sudden you have Senator Reid, who has a lot of sway in that state, really pumping up that situation, which doesn't need to be escalated.
Yeah, I mean, that was just absolutely inflammatory and unbecoming of a United States senator, I believe.
Mr. Ivory, we'd love to have you back. If you're ever in the state, please let us know.
I love Idaho. We've had great opportunities there, and my guess is we'll be back sometime throughout the summer. Happy to do so, and appreciate the time, Kevin. Get people on the education front. We have the ability to move this if we're teaching and we help all of the people that we know have the knowledge and courage to take the action.
Thank you again, sir.
Thanks, Kevin.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you have it, Representative Ken Ivory on the lands. We'll discuss it next. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
I'm KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Dave Burnett with us. Now, I don't know if Dave Burnett will even know the answer to it. He could probably simply fake this question, but we'll start with it.
Oh, boy.
What are the five NFL teams that do not have cheerleaders?
The five, count them, five NFL teams that do not have cheerleaders.
Yes.
Yikes. I know Miami does. Dallas does. Seattle does. Well, New England does not.
I think you've covered the one. No, New England does.
Oh, they do. I don't know. You know why? Do you know why? I know I'm going to sound like an old man or something.
Wait a minute.
I don't care.
I sound like an old man.
I don't really care who has cheerleaders because most of them are glorified pole dancers in the NFL anyway.
Now, wait a minute. Why would you say you would sound like an old man?
Because I don't care that there's hottie hot hot cheerleaders on the sideline.
Now, did you just say hottie hot hot hot?
Hottie hot hot cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. Pole dancers. That's what they are.
Now, that's sexist.
Why is that?
That's a sexist statement.
These
are good girls working hard, making their way the only way they know how. It's a little just more than the law will allow.
I just know that the first time I really noticed, I was at a Denver-San Francisco game a couple of years ago, and we were sitting down where you could see the cheerleaders, and it was like, oh my gosh. And I said to my wife, I said, they're more like glorified pole dancers than they are cheerleaders. They aren't. There's no sis, boom, ba, who do we cheer? There was none of that.
Now, folks, if I'd say that, he'd be calling me a hater, a cheerleader-a-phobe, and so many other names. Notice how I just kind of let it all go.
I'm waiting for anyone to call in to disagree with me.
Well, we'll have to fire up the shield system before we do that. But anyway.
Oh, good point.
At 580-5436, the Buffalo Bills, have you heard about this? Their cheerleaders are suing the Buffalo Bills because of low pay, of harassment, of just bad working conditions, and they make less than minimum wage. Now, Dave Burnett, if you, in fact, were a male cheerleader, perhaps the equivalent of the Village People, a male version of the cheerleading, would you expect to be harassed if you're out there jiggling the jiggles?
Well, number one, I am going to bash you right now for assuming that anyone who is a cheerleader is gay.
I never said gay. I said like the Village People.
Exactly. Code word.
But it isn't a code word just based on the fact that the reason why I said that was because that how I would describe male cheerleaders would be the Village People. You could be a construction worker. You could be a policeman. You could be a sailor or, well, we used to say this, but we'll just say Native American with the headdress and all.
Oh, code word again. typically the male cheerleaders are there to lift the female cheerleaders up using their strength. But I'm sorry, but if you dress to be looked at, male or female, if you're dressing to be looked at, don't complain when people are looking at you.
Well, they're complaining, and they want more money.
Well, good for them. I hope they get it. Hope they get their chunk.
Right?
Yeah. Hope they get their piece of money. I'm just saying.
Huh.
I mean, it's not like, you know, some of those losers on the sideline dressed in uniforms aren't getting big bucks. They may as well get their big bucks, too.
Why?
How are they making less than minimum wage?
They get because of all the personal appearances that they don't get paid for.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm just saying. Then they got a bad agent.
Well, what are you saying? You're calling them strippers.
They look like a lot of them.
Exotic dancers.
A lot of them, as you watch what they're doing, that's kind of the moves they're doing.
Why are you watching the cheerleaders? You should be watching the game.
As I mentioned to you once before, I couldn't even tell you who didn't have cheerleaders. I just know when I was at a game and they were down on the sideline in front of us, that's when I was noticing, like, holy cow. And I don't even know other than...
Holy cow.
Other than eye appeal. Yes, that's a Hindu term. Other than eye appeal. Code word. Other than eye appeal, I can't see any reason for them to be there. It's eye candy.
Well, maybe they're football fans. Maybe they want to be a part of the game.
I'm sure they do. Their performers are entertaining. They're entertaining to a segment of the crowd. That's it.
Hmm.
Yeah, you can't keep your crappy plan. Just deal with that.
Exactly. It's my favorite sound clip from Melissa Harris Perry talking about the Republicans and the health insurance.
Yeah, you can't keep your crappy plan. Just deal with that.
You know, there's a woman that teaches political science at Tulane University, one of the most prestigious academically institutions held in such high regard. She's on MSNBC. And yet she's going, I don't know what you call this, street, because you can't say one word because that would imply racism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't keep your crappy plan. Just deal with that.
I wish I could have that inflection. Yeah, you can't. I can't do it.
No, you can't do that.
I can't pull it off.
I got a question for you.
Finally.
Got into a, what?
Hello?
Hello, Boston. I got into a conversation with somebody about federal lands in Idaho. How much of Idaho is owned? What
65%.
Percentage? That's close. It's 62, almost 62%. 62% of our state owned by the federal government. 61.7.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, we broke that 10 years ago on this show.
But isn't that amazing that the average Idahoan has no clue?
Yeah.
No clue.
Look, nothing personal. But I see the average Idahoan in this building. And the average Idahoan...
And we're lucky that this station's never on the overhead speakers.
Well, even if it were, they couldn't comprehend something with more than three consonants. So let me say this here at 580KIDO. I could go around this building, and very rarely could I have a conversation with someone that would, you know, that would focus in on news or politics or current events. And you can smack them. They're focused, like most people, on what impacts their lives, whether it's creating revenue, whether it's coming up with, something fun for the kids, whether it's keeping up with Justin Bieber. That's what our society, unfortunately, has become.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that in this building. Now, again, you love to talk to the people in this building because you think that they're bright or intelligent, particularly the people that work in the FM decadent jabroni cavity mind-rotting field of FM radio.
Let me ask you a question
quickly.
I mean,
that adds no value to the listeners.
This pointed out to
me. Hey, here's Jimmy in the Wonderlix.
Let me ask you this question. This pointed out to me, and it's a very good point. Is it the average Boisean that has that kind of mindset or the average Idahoan? Because I think rural Idaho are very different.
The people in this building is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, which would be Boiseans.
And I don't, I'm not a Boisean. I live in Star, Idaho.
Exactly.
I live in Star, with the governor.
Perhaps I guess he does live in Star, actually.
What are you talking about? He doesn't live in Star.
Well,
he lives in Star.
He's on the outskirts. He's not in city limits.
Oh, the big outskirts. Yes, he's like, two blocks from the main stoplight.
He lives in Ada County. And yeah. People who live in Ada County, happy to say they live in the county.
According to the governor, he lives in Star. Yeah, so maybe you'd like to correct him.
That's a town. I would be happy to. That's a town he drives through. He lives in Ada County, I believe.
There you go again. Mm-hmm. Anyway, back to what I'm saying, though. You take a look at people, and again, they're interested in everything else that's important to them. And unfortunately, we see this again and again and again. Your fixation on sports as opposed to me, who wants to make the world a better place.
What is my fixation on sports?
I don't know. You brought up the cheerleaders, and you're eyeballing cheerleaders at the game. I don't know why you brought up sports today. This isn't a sports show. I've told you that 27 times.
I haven't brought up anything other than public lands.
You haven't brought up anything.
I brought up public lands, talking about that.
Yeah, how exciting.
Well, yeah, you bring up cheerleaders jiggling in Buffalo or something.
You were jiggling.
You know what? I recommend you listen in for the podcast of this show.
Who?
So you.
I do all the time.
Well, that way you'll know exactly who brought in what.
I can't get enough of myself. I go home and listen to the podcast with my headphones on again and again and again.
I can't get enough of you. What?
I can't get enough of myself.
Gray, go ahead and save that clip.
That and you talking about jiggling, if you're going to start doing that. Anyway, coming up today, we have Nagmeh Abedini. I'll be very emotional. Looking forward to speaking with her about her husband. We have Brian Smith, who's making a trip from East Idaho over here, one of the more contentious races, and he was on with one of your buddies, Glenn Beck, the other day. By the way, can you make a run at getting Mr. Beck on the program, please?
Can I?
Yes.
Sure.
And I will make a run at getting Mr. Hannity on the program.
Okay.
And Ray will make a run at getting Alex Jones on the program. And Howard will make a run at getting Clive Barker. What is his name? Clive Bacon?
Howard,
you remember HG, producer emeritus.
He doesn't speak to us anymore.
He does. He goes, "Hi, Millie, I miss you." And I go, "Hi, Howard, I miss you. You can always come in and hang out." Oh, okay.
Then and we never
hear from you. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Where's Sweet Willard? I haven't seen him around.
Willard or William?
Sweet William, that's true.
Sweet William.
Well, Willard was at the school.
Willard, you know, that's gimmick infringement. And we can say that because Willard's not around right now. I mean, we have Sweet William, who's been with me for many, many years.
I haven't seen him lately. Is he taking time off?
No, he's here. Oh. He's here. We talk with him quite a bit, but apparently you're too busy doing your lands council survey with the building instead of monitoring this show. If you couldn't get enough of me, see, you would listen to the podcast and know that Sweet William's around.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, one other thing before I go.
I was just going to take a breath and say something.
Nope, this is all about you, but I'll go ahead and do it for now.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it good about me?
This is good about you.
All right. Something good.
Yes, because what we'd like to do
is
encourage listeners in the early hours here to go to the Idaho Statesman's website and vote in the best of, what is it, best of Boise? Is that their thing?
The best of the Treasure Valley.
And vote for Kevin Miller for radio talk show host or radio host. And I would just encourage people to do that. In fact, is there a link on your page today to that?
They're not on my page, but I've been doing it on the Facebooks and such. And really, in all seriousness, folks, this sends a message to the people that support us, the people that are over us. Last year, we finished fourth. This year, it's Willie, Billy, and Timmy. There's like 27. It's Section 13 in it.
Yep. So go in and vote for Kevin Miller. And if nothing else, also to the Statesman to say, look at that. What's talk radio doing? Talk radio? How could that be? How could talk radio be in the favorites? So.
Well, I would love to, you know, get up there with the decadent jabroni FM slappies that have all. But and I had something, and now I've lost it. Thank you, Dave Burnett.
Not a problem. When you find it, it'll be on the podcast.
Yeah, no. Oh, Brian Smith's coming in.
Yes.
And I'm going to say, is it really true that you're a mean trial lawyer? I've heard the ads, and if they're on the ads, they must be true. I mean, have you heard these ads about this guy? You can't miss these ads.
He pulled out of the debate in Eastern Idaho.
I wonder
why. With Mike Simpson. I don't know. Didn't like the moderator or something.
They were going to come over and do a debate with us, and then he decided to leave us for another, which never happens around here.
Got to do traffic now, though.
Come on, no.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
558, coming up, a crazy story from 580KIDO.com. It involves a woman, a taser, and a Walmart. Before that, let's get you to work safely and on time at 5. All right, here's the skinny. How many of us has this ever happened to us? That we're at a store, we're at a restaurant, and it just gets so frustrating in dealing with one of the employees. Well, apparently, 20-year-old Sierra Moon Maynard is facing felony charges, according to the police, and this is from 580KIDO.com. She threatened a Walmart employee on Overland Road, trying to stop her from stealing some stolen items. So what did she do? She was confronted, so she got out her taser, allegedly, activated the tase gun, and was ready to lay the smack down.
Yeah, you can't keep your crappy plan. Just deal with that.
No, she didn't say that, but she attempted to shock the worker. When that didn't happen, she ran. The police got her, and now felony charges, no tasers, no blue lights, just a lot of great specials at Walmart. KMLA, good morning.
Serving Meridian.